Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
In a part of it, allow it to be a part of you. It is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. He's Keyshawn Johnson. He's Jay Williams. I'm Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Sirius XM Channel 80, as well as the ESPN app presented by Progressive Insurance. 10 minutes away, when it comes to your quarterback, is he overhyped or underrated? We're going to get to that in about 10 minutes. But there's no overhyping or underrating whatever the conversation is going to be involving Deshaun Watson's future in the National Football League. Reports happened earlier this week that Stephen Ross, the owner of the Dolphins, said that, according to those reports, try to make a trade to Deshaun Watson or gauge the interest of the Houston Texans. But Brian Flores, the coach, doubled down that he is not interested in Deshaun Watson taking over his team.
I will say that Tua is our quarterback. I think that's been the I think he's had a good training camp. I think he's made a lot of progress. I think he's made a lot of improvement, and you know we're pleased with where he is, and he's going about his preparations for New England the way he should be, and that's where we are as a team.
See, Freddie, that didn't sound like he's not interested in Deshaun Watson. I mean,
yep.
That just sounds like a coach that is continuing to try to inject a certain spirit into his quarterback and keep his spirits high. Does not sound like Brian Flores says he's not interested in Deshaun Watson. I mean, I know several days ago he made the comments that he wanted, you know, certain character type guys, things of that nature, so people automatically started to place that with the issues that Deshaun Watson is having off the field, that meant that he didn't want Deshaun Watson. I think when you look at that plus this, all he's doing is setting himself up either way. I can get in it or I can get out of it. If Deshaun happens to land in Miami, I can always say that, hey, everything checked out the way it needed to check out. We always felt he was a good character guy, yada, yada, yada. And if it doesn't go that way, he can always say it wasn't going to work for us because his character was in question. So I'm not ready to say that the Miami Dolphins are satisfied with Tua and they are not looking at other options if it presents itself.
I mean, just look at this list right here for Deshaun Watson timeline. January, asked for a trade. March, you know, first of 22 active civil lawsuits filed against Watson. April, notable companies like Nike and Dre, Beats by Dre, halted sponsorship deals. 25th, reported to training camp. August 9th, returned to practice after five-day absence, still seeking a trade. Look, I don't condone any of the actions, and I know it still has to be proven in a court of law. There's still a long way to go with that, and also understand what the NFL, how they're going to handle that. But the talent speaks for itself. And the one thing that I've seen in sports is, you know, look, if they're able to figure this out, like, people still want that talent. People are still enamored with the talent, regardless of whether they found him guilty or not guilty.
Right.
Right? And that's just the reality of it, whether we like it or not. And we're in the business of winning games. And some people have principles. Some organizations do, different than others. And all I'm saying is for us to sit up here and act like people still aren't interested in Deshaun Watson, we would be remiss to think that way, Fred.
Yeah.
We would be remiss.
And Keyshawn and Jay, here's the deal. That's the conversation. Because if you're willing to take a chance on that guy, you'll spend it anyway forward. Because there have been plenty of other players. And, Jay, you mentioned this in between – before we came back, you said there have been people in the NFL that got second chances. For example, Leonard Little, who took away a mother of three children, being under the influence in an automobile accident. But because of his talent, I don't want to say they made excuses for it. That's a bad phrasing. But they made enough to say, we're going to bring this guy because he can help our football team. But what about this? They were able to try to push that aside as much as possible because they believe in the theory that this too shall pass. It's the same principle, in my opinion, with Deshaun Watson. And that's what struck me with Key. I could see his wheels circulating going, you know what? We can have the conversation about, well, what about this? What about that? If a team believes that Deshaun Watson can help them, they'll try to spin it forward as much as they possibly can, no matter when he's going to be on the football field, if that's going to happen in 2021.
Yeah, based on the accusations that he's being charged with right now, it's not as easy as signing Deshaun Watson as it was Leonard Little many years ago with the Rams, or Dante Stallworth when he had the accident in Florida. This is a little bit different, right? And what I mean by that, Freddie, is Stephen Ross is maybe kicking the tires on it, or maybe there's other owners kicking the tires on it. But those other owners, potentially, and general managers and head coaches, they have wives and potentially daughters and grandchildren that are female. It's a little bit different. You've got to have conversations. Imagine your wife or your daughter. You got to have those conversations, Fred. That's just not as, because
you should have those conversations.
The wife of an owner or daughter of an owner, they have friends too. And their friends may be female. And they're going to have those conversations. I always say that the wife of an owner has a girlfriend that they sip wine together. And they want to know what's going on in their business. Imagine that next door neighbor asking your wife, why would y'all sign that guy? They got to get checks and balances and checking the boxes to make sure that they're doing everything. It's just not as easy as he's a very talented quarterback. We're getting ready to sign him no matter what anyone says. Because can you withstand all of the backlash and the fire that would be coming at you? I remember the Michael Vick situation, which is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Vick spent some time in prison, as we know, because of the dog situation down in the Georgia area. He got out. And it was a mad, crazy zoo outside of Philadelphia Eagles headquarters on a daily basis. But the Philadelphia Eagles and Andy Reid, they had to figure out if they can withstand that type of backlash that was coming on a daily basis. Now, if it's the Miami Dolphins, they've got to see if this is the temperature that we want to take and make sure that we don't want this sort of behavior continuing in our organization, that we got the right people in place to handle the situation from a rehabilitation standpoint. All of those boxes got to get checked. And maybe they do, maybe they don't. But it's a long ways away, in my opinion, from him being able to put on a Miami Dolphins uniform and play.
I agree with you. That's why there's no need for Brian Flores to say anything about it. You just hold your cards. You just stick tight.
So why did he say anything?
Well, he's talking about, because I'm sure he's going to be asked a question a multitude
of times.
But
he didn't say anything.
That's why I just said anything. That's why
he
didn't say
nothing at all, Freddie. All he said was,
I want high character guys. Tua's our quarterback.
He didn't say nothing.
Well, the reason I say, I hear you, but at a certain point, why even say anything at that point?
I'm saying it also for Tua.
Right.
So you can recognize
that's
that
what I'm saying.
You're our guy. And also to the media to say, hey, look, Tua's our guy right now. Like, it's that simple. He's our guy right now.
I get it.
And if he's not our guy, because we have a chance to get Deshaun Watson, if this gets cleared up, then we'll handle it then, because he probably won't be our guy.
Well,
but for now, he's our guy.
Well, put it this way. When you double down on a quarterback that people wonder if you actually believe in or you actually trust, you double down on it, it leads, and this is not just me, but people covering the team may say, so why do you need to double down on Tua? If he's your guy, you don't need to tell us twice. You already told us once.
Well, because you keep asking me questions and rumors are coming up. So I have to address them. If I run from it, it's one of those damned if I do, damned if I don't things, right?
That's fair.
And so if I run from it, you're going to say, well, he's running from it, so it must be true. So I answer it, you're still going to say the same thing. So I can't please you regardless in these situations. So I might as well give confidence to my quarterback, because guess what? I'm going to always change my mind if it benefits the organization and the team. Yeah, I can always say something else came available that was way better. All right? It's just that. Look, football players and athletes are throwaways. They are just throwaways. It's an assembly line. Bill Parcells always told me, he said, man, it's an assembly line. It goes around. One person gets off, another person gets on. The moment that person gets off, there's probably somebody better getting on. And that's what could potentially happen with the Miami Dolphins. Tua can get off, and maybe Deshaun Watson gets on. And guess what? It's going to keep going around, and somebody else will get off, and somebody else will get on.
Great stuff by Keyshawn Johnson and Jay Williams. I'm Freddie Coleman of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests always hang out with us and join us on the Goodyear Hotline. So that's another conversation for another day. It's time to bring in James Steele, our bearded producer, one of the best beards in the history of man beards in the history of mankind. It's glorious. On point. We're going to do a little overhyped, underrated when it comes to NFL quarterbacks. So Mr. Yenzer yourself, James Steele, the floor is yours, brother.
Yeah, how Yenzer doing? All right. So overhyped or underrated, going to go through some quarterbacks here. Up first, Matthew Stafford, Overhyped or underrated?
Well, I would say he's overhyped, not underrated. I think the hype is the fact that he was in Detroit. He never won a playoff game. He put up a lot of big numbers. He had a guy named Megatron who just put on a gold jacket a few weeks ago as his main target at the wide receiver position. They move him for a slew of draft picks to Detroit, from Detroit to Los Angeles in exchange for Jared Goff. There's a lot of hype surrounded around him based on Sean McVay saying, hey, the guy that we need is Matthew Stafford to take us to the promised land. So that hype is built up around him. If he does not, Jay, some things can go wrong in L.A.
Yeah, Key, I feel like he's more underrated, though. I feel like a lot of people always say, well, he was in Detroit and, you know, he couldn't lead them to where they need to be. And Jared Goff was a guy. He took him to the Super Bowl. And this is going to come back to haunt Sean McVay. It's going to come back to haunt Les Snead. They're not going to be able to get a championship. It feels like there's a lot of energy towards Matthew Stafford that way. So in my eyes, I'm like, okay, there's nothing but up for Matthew Stafford. All he has to do is just perform the way he's performed with Detroit, but with better weapons.
Sometimes you can be underrated and overhyped. He's overhyped and based on what you just said, because now we're going to find out if it was not Matthew Stafford all those years. Well, the reason that they were not able to get to the playoffs, or when they got to the playoffs they didn't win, was because the organization held them back. Well, we're going to find out now, because this is the best NFL team he's ever been on. This is the best team he's probably been since in high school in Texas. You got a defense on the other side that got a bunch of filthy McNasties, and you got an offensive coordinator slash coach in Sean McVay that can dial up plays. If they get to the playoffs and he doesn't win, then those whispers are going to get louder that, oh, maybe the organization didn't hold you back. Maybe it was you, Matthew Stafford, that held the Lions back.
All right, up next, the guy he was traded for, Jared Goff. Overhyped or underrated?
See, in my opinion, I think Jared Goff is underrated. I like Jared Goff. He got an opportunity to lead this team into the playoffs a couple times. He went to the Super Bowl. Hey, look, at the end, he didn't win the Super Bowl. He went up against Brian Flores and the New England Patriots. But it's a lot of teams that lost to the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl. Count them on your hand and another finger, six. So, I like Jared Goff. He may never be the Jared Goff that everybody expects for him to be, but I think he is a dominant quarterback in this league. He's done a tremendous job. He's got to turn down the turnovers, though. If he can somehow get the turnovers down, I think he'll be fine.
Okay. Let's see Jared Goff dig Detroit out of the hole. Like, if there was all that heat,
I didn't know about that.
If there was all this energy about Matthew Stafford and him not being able to do it, let's see Jared Goff do it.
So
I think he's overhyped.
He is?
I think he's a little bit far from his days of bringing the Rams to the Super Bowl. I know he's a talent. There's some questions about his work ethic, supposedly. That's what I heard. But let's see if he can dig Detroit out.
I'm going to say he's underrated slightly, and here's why. Because he was the fall guy for what did not go right for the Rams. It was very easy that when they didn't win the Super Bowl, well, it was Jared Goff's fault. Well, we didn't get out of the playoffs last year in terms of getting out of that first round after beating Seattle. Well, it was Jared Goff's fault. Well, I think if you're Jared Goff, I'd be peeled about that. I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. I wasn't the one out there not running the football effectively, or I was not the one calling the wrong plays at that time. I think he's underrated from the standpoint of, you know what, we'll see how I'm going to make this work in Detroit. This way I can show you guys that I wasn't the reason why we did not win a Super Bowl or we did not advance in the playoffs.
I'm curious, what does he need to do in Detroit, in your opinion, to rise above with Matthew Stafford?
Get some players around him, man. Ain't got that team.
But put it this way. If you're Jared Goff, do what Matthew Stafford was not able to do. Take a bunch of guys that nobody believes in and raise them above their level. Many people wonder if Matthew Stafford could do that he just kept guys the same level outside of Calvin Johnson. He's just a super worldwide receiver. You can raise other guys' level with a new coaching staff, then your name gets a lot bigger than Detroit than what Matthew Stafford
could
do.
What quarterbacks have raised guys that we have no idea their levels?
Man, I could give you a number of them, but we ain't got time. I'll tell you during the break.
Okay, good. I was going to defer to Keyshawn on that one.
Right now.
Right now, okay. He'll tell you. Your right now is going to be a little bit later. James, what's next?
All right, let's go out to the AFC North. Baker Mayfield, overhyped or underrated?
This ought to be good.
I think he is, well, could he be both?
He could be fairly rated, fair market value.
Here's what I would say. He's okay. Underrated, and the reason he's underrated because he comes with a lot of hype. See how I did that? And when you come with a lot of hype, people sometimes don't appreciate you. And I think Baker Mayfield needs to be appreciated, not only amongst the Cleveland Brown fans, but amongst the NFL community as a whole. He's done a terrific job. Only thing he's ever done is grown since he's been taking over at the quarterback spot in Cleveland. Kevin Stefanski comes in there. All he does is get better week to week. We saw what he did in the second half of the season, and then he leads them into the playoffs. This year, I think they make a stronger run in the playoffs. Doesn't mean that they'll go to the NFC Championship game. It just means that – or the AFC Championship game. It just means that they'll be a much better football team.
You see, I think he's fairly rated, but I'm afraid of him being overhyped by the media.
Why?
Because of the way he finished the season. You know, when he finished the season, people were saying, that's the top pick in the NFL draft that we've been waiting for. That's the superstar. Kevin Stefanski and company, they're still going to play the game the way they played the game. They're a run-heavy offense, and they're going to, you know, different play action. He's going to be able to find the seams, find pockets. I like the way he plays, but I don't want to overset expectations that Baker Mayfield is going to be next level all the time. He doesn't need to be that in order for this team to go deep.
I'm going to say he's overhyped, but it's not his fault, and here's why. Because many people compare him to Johnny Manziel when he came out of college. I said, that's one of the dumbest comparisons I've ever heard. Because Johnny Manziel, as a player and a human being, was nowhere near Baker Mayfield. And I mean that in a bad way for Johnny Manziel compared to Baker Mayfield. And to your point, Jay, the way he finished his rookie season, that led to a whole lot of people being on that Cleveland Browns bandwagon. And I said back then, man, they have a slow start to the season. Do they have enough there that they can overcome that? They got their brains taken out by Tennessee. They never recovered. Last year, at the end of the year, he finished with 26 touchdown passes, 9 interceptions. For my money, he has the best offensive line in football. He's got some two dudes running behind him in Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb, and he got some dudes on the outside. If Odell Beckham Jr. can be that Odell Beckham Jr. without all the circumstance, they could be a very special offense. But it's not his fault that he's overhyped because number one pick in the draft, that comparison to Johnny Manziel, and people are saying, well, now you got a chance on the stage against Patrick Mahomes opening day. You got to be close to his level. In big games like that, you got to play better. If he's able to do that, then he'll definitely live up to the overhype.
Freddie, that was a bad surgeon if his brain got taken out and he wasn't able to recover. I don't want that dude operating on me.
No one said to be any medicine. So that's my fault on that one. What you got, James?
All right, let's stick in the AFC North and find out what you guys think about Ben Roethlisberger.
Uh-oh.
Overhyped or underrated?
I think at this stage of his career, he may be a little overhyped. I think Pittsburgh Steelers fans are hoping that he becomes the old Ben Roethlisberger. Now, look, in the preseason, he did a terrific job, but the preseason is only a couple games, a couple series, and that's pretty much it. Let's see how things go 17 weeks plus for Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers in that arm.
Yeah, that's another one. I think he's fairly rated. I think, you know, he's had a great career in Pittsburgh. They were undefeated last year before they felt like they got decimated with injuries and things changed for them quickly. But look, Ben Roethlisberger isn't a guy that's going to throw the ball crazy amounts of times during a game, right? Like, he needs a great running back, and Najee Harris, I think he now has, where he actually has that multidimensional offense where it's just not all predicated upon his arm.
It's overhyped, but when you're a two-time Super Bowl winning champion quarterback, because he's succeeded so much in his career. Anything he does, people are going to hype it up. Is it his last year in Pittsburgh? If it's not his last year in Pittsburgh, where is he going to go? So that's why I say he's overhyped from that standpoint because of what he's been able to do. And to your point, Jay, what we saw the first 11 weeks when they were undefeated, he was their running game. Let's call it as it is. They had no running game. He was their running game. And when things came back to planet Earth, he did not have enough in him to do that. You're right. That running game, the offensive line needs to be better. But he's overhyped because of what he's done already, not because it's too much around Ben Roethlisberger.
Damn. Freddie, did he go to space?
The final frontier. Hey, Jeff Bezos can do it. Why can't Ben Roethlisberger?
All right. I didn't know that fairly rated was an option here, but I guess
I just made it one.
That's what I said. That's why I was like, hey, y'all continue to – I thought it was underrated, overrated, hyped, and now all of a sudden it's – fairly, I'm like, geez.
Properly rated, I guess we're throwing in there now.
You're right.
All right, okay. Anyway.
Not everything is absolute.
Anyway, yeah, you got to be absolute.
No.
Got to argue. All right. So Kyler Murray, overhyped or underrated?
Go ahead, Key. Kick us off.
I think it's overhyped. I do. I honestly think it's overhyped because of the skill set that we're looking at: passing the ball all over the lot, throwing for a million yards, doing all the little things that you like to see a guy in that type of offense do. I don't think that the offense translates to the NFL in terms of winning a lot of games, meaningful games, making deep runs into the playoffs. I just don't. Kyler Murray's a good quarterback, but for my money, I like something different.
I'm buying stock in Kyler Murray. I say underrated.
As you should.
I'm buying and saying underrated. Yeah. Statistically, Murray improved in almost every passing category in year number two with the Cardinals and had a huge increase on the ground. He ran for 819 yards and 11 TDs. So he's developed great chemistry, DeAndre Hopkins. He has A.J. Green now. I think he has a lot left in the tank, and I think this is going to be the season where he's really going to explode on the scene.
9 wins.
I'm going to say he's underrated.
Thank you.
But I'll say this. His coach better get over being overhyped than Cliff Kingsbury.
I hear you.
Because they drafted a quarterback because you brought this air raid system to the NFL. If you're not able to show that as wins into the playoffs, Kyler Murray will still be around, but they'll find a new head coach when it comes
Let me ask you this, though. Freddie, since you said if they get rid of Cliff Kingsbury, Kyler Murray will still be around. So you think that a coach comes in off the streets, takes over, he's going to want to implement the air raid system? Because Kyler Murray, in my opinion, cannot translate into another system. This has been the system he's been in his entire career, whether it was high school, college, or the pros.
Well, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I think he'll be able to adapt in the National Football League if a new coach is going to come in, because he has enough special ability in him and as a quarterback that he can be very fluid. I know he's been associated with the air raid offense. It's made him success, undefeated in high school, and what he did when he got to college. Kyler Murray has that kind of special skill set, in my opinion, not just to be an air raid kind of quarterback. I think he can adapt whatever coach comes in and puts that kind of offensive system around him and playmakers around him to make that work. That's just me.
Okay.
That's just me. But we'll see. Good stuff, guys. He's Jay Will. He's Keyshawn Johnson, Freddie Coleman, and Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests always stop by thanks to the Goodyear Hotline. We're going to talk to a coach who used to coach in a division that I was run by all the young guns. That is next.
Do you have a motorcycle, ATV, or even a truck that's sitting in your garage that you've been waiting to sell? With RumbleOn.com, you can easily turn your unused vehicle into cash in minutes. RumbleOn.com will give you a cash offer for your vehicle and pick it up for free anytime, anywhere. Harley, Polaris, Can-Am, Yamaha, and even if you are just looking to trade in, RumbleOn will pay cash no matter what the make or the model. Visit RumbleOn.com today and enter promo code RADIO, R-A-D-I-O, to get $300 increase on your cash offer. Fast bikes, faster cash.
As a fan, this is amazing. This is the time of the year.
This is what we talked about. This is real, man. This is real.
Are you ready? Because I'm ready.
This is Scott Van Pelt, and I'm ready.
This is Keyshawn Johnson. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are ready.
This is Stafford Steve, and I'm ready.
This is the Bear, and I'm ready.
Football is back, and it kicks off every morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, and continues all day right here on ESPN Radio.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Total is cringing right about now. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Sirius XM Channel 80, and also Sirius XM Channel 80. Anytime a guest stops by to hang out with us, they're here thanks to the Goodyear Hotline. Let's talk to a man who was a great defensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens, did a terrific job with the New York Jets, as well as the Buffalo Bills.
He's Rexy Rex.
NFL analyst Rexy Rex himself, Sexy Rexy.
What's up, Sexy Rex?
Rex Ryan joining us here.
What's up,
Keyshawn,
guys?
J. Will, and Zubin. We are good, my brother. You know what it's like, Coach. And I was there the night of the NFL draft when your team, the Jets, drafted Mark Mark Sanchez, and he started for you as a rookie. The Patriots about to do that with Mac Jones. What is it going to be like having a rookie quarterback that, like your team, led that team to the playoffs, that Bill Belichick is hoping the same thing can happen with Mac Jones with the Patriots this year, Rex?
Yeah, I think what people are going to see is that, like, Bill Belichick is smart. He is a smart football man. He's going to run the football and protect his quarterback that way. And unlike the Cincinnati Bengals, when they want to throw it 55 times a game, there's a difference. You know, you can put up stats with this rookie quarterback. Look how great he is. But the idea is to try to win a game, to try to win. And that's what Bill Belichick's going to do. He's going to run the football, protect the quarterback. And by the way, this guy does have a skill set, and they actually have some weapons to throw to this year, unlike last year. So I think they're going to be just fine. And when I saw that young man, you know, in the preseason, I was like, whew, this kid looks, you know, like he's poised. And obviously he's got the tools to do it. He had about as good of college year, senior year, as any quarterback that I can remember. I mean, him and Joe Burrow. And, you know, shoot, Belichick just said, you know what, Cam, you know, appreciate it, but this kid gives us the best chance to win, and he's only going to get better week in, week out, and so he's going to go that route.
What was it like for you, Rex? I know you had Mark Sanchez, who was a rookie. You, along with Mike Tannenbaum, made the decision to start a young guy that you went and picked in the first round, but you had a dominant defense, you had a nice running game, and I think you had a hell of a head football coach calling some defensive plays.
That's what I'm talking about. Gee, I appreciate you.
But what was it like being able to manage the expectations of a rookie quarterback?
Well, first off, I went in there with the expectations that, hey, the whole league is going to find out how great a coach I am. Like an idiot, I went in saying, oh, we're going to win. We're going to do this. We're going to lead the league in defense. All this kind of stuff. The funny thing is we did lead the league in defense, and you mentioned that great defense we had. Now, remember, that great defense the year before was 23rd in the league. So we went in and said, no, we are going to flip this defense. We are going to make it special. And I realized after the first mini camp, I never had a quarterback. Like, that was a problem. Here I made all these guarantees, and I'm like, uh-oh, we have no quarterback. I mean, no quarterback. And so regardless if it was Mark Sanchez or somebody else, we were going to have to start a rookie. And that's when I sat back and said, we're also going to lead the league in rushing. Because we're not going to drop back a rookie quarterback 50 times a game and expect to win. There was no chance of that. And I think that's the way, being around this game a long time, there's different ways of winning. And you guys touched on it right there. You say, hey, the New England's going to play. They're going to dominate on defense, and they're going to run the football. I truly believe that. And they're going to go back and turn the page back, you know, about 20 years. And it might not be, you know, sexy or whatever, but they're trying to win games. And Belichick will do it as good as anybody. And you know, having this young quarterback, you protect the football team, not just the quarterback, but you protect the football team. And I think that's what New England will do.
Rex, so what happens to Cam? Where does Cam go? Does he go anywhere? Does he just sit and wait for the right opportunity? What do you think?
Well, Jay, well, I look at it this way. Look, Cam Newton was one of my favorite players. I mean, I love Cam Newton. And he dominated the league, man, with something that we really didn't see. I mean, a power running game quarterback and a guy that had the ability to make throws down the field to beat you. You know, was never the most accurate guy, but when, you know, he can hit guys, and he was tremendous. Unfortunately for Cam, he had a shoulder, and I don't think he ever recovered from it. And when you look at him now trying to throw the football, it's painful to watch. And I know this kid is as tough as it gets. And you see him struggling. He pushes that ball back. I just don't think he can rotate that shoulder the way he used to. And he's not quite the same player he once was, and it's really unfortunate because he was so special when he was younger. But quite honestly, guys, I just don't think he has it anymore. And, you know, look, he's got the heart, he's got the competitiveness, he's got the brains, but I just don't think he has the arm talent he once had.
Rex Ryan, ESPN NFL analyst, now part of the co-hosting Organized Chaos podcast with Bart Scott. The first episode drops on September 12th on KJZ on ESPN Radio and also ESPN News. Staying with, in terms of people wanting to have players on their team, the whole conversation flipped early this week, Rex, when Jaguars head coach Urban Meyer talked about it could be the difference of keeping a player that's vaccinated and not keeping a player that's unvaccinated, and then the Jaguars walked back what he had to say. What is your stance in terms of coaching having to make these decisions? Because to me, Urban Meyer told the truth, but a lot of people did not want to hear that truth from him.
Freddie, you're exactly right. He told the truth. And that's the thing about Urban Meyer. We've seen him, you know, and people are like, oh, he's not ready for the NFL. Urban Meyer's a great football coach, okay? I said he's going to join the men's league. It's a lot different than college. But he's telling you the truth. No coach in the league is going to say it other than Urban Meyer, and it slipped out when he said it. But that is the truth. If everything is equal, then I'm going to take the vaccinated. Then he's going to take the vaccinated player. And the league doesn't want you to know that. Nobody wants you to know it. But it is absolutely the truth. And they're different rules. And until the rules are the exact same, then they will approach it differently. But believe me, they are sitting back saying, hey, look, man, they're the same kind of player. I'm going to take the guy that's vaccinated. And because the rules aren't as restrictive if there's a positive test. So it just goes without saying, you've got availability, man, is huge in this league. And, you know, and that's just the way it is. Whether you agree with the vaccination or not, this is the absolute truth.
Help me out with this a little bit, Rex, because I always try and get Jay Will and others to understand that I'm not hating on Kyler Murray. I'm hating on the air raid system. If you got back into the National Football League as a head coach, are you implementing that system? Do you like the air raid system?
Man, you know, Key, this is the thing. When he came into the league, when Cliff Kingsbury came into the league, I was like, dude, it's going to get smoked. And quite honestly, it has, because look, in college football, you have 100-some kids on your roster, 100 kids on your roster. So you don't care. You can go as fast as you want. You can do all this type of stuff, and you're going to wear out that defense. Well, you're wearing out your own damn defense. And so we've seen him back off on that. And quite honestly, he's grown. He's a better coach now than he was when he came into the league. Yet, let's face it, this air raid system that he implemented, you know, from college, you had the greatest player on the planet in Patrick Mahomes, and you were 500 as a head coach at Texas Tech. Oh, and by the way, you had Baker Mayfield too. So it's like, are you kidding me? Like, this doesn't win games. It puts up yardage. It puts up all this. And I was criticized beyond belief about, well, see, there you go. He's Neanderthal football. Neanderthal football still wins. You better be able to do both. You need to, you know, when you need to be able to run the football to close out games, you better be able to do it. And the same thing is here. Look, this isn't, you know, I mean, getting it out basketball on grass. That's the most boring crap of all time. Okay, now Kyler Murray's special. DeAndre Hopkins, special. I don't care what offense you're going to do. You're going to be successful with those cats. Okay, there's no question. But the mentality is, and I think Cliff knows it now, it's not about how many snaps we can get. It's about winning football games, and there's two pieces of it, offense, defense, and special teams, three phases of the game. And you need to understand how you can protect one side or the other. And quite honestly, I think his defense is ready to take a big step forward. But you, as a head coach, have got to bring back this air raid thing and go back to a damn NFL offense where you're balanced, you're able to run the football, you're able to protect the quarterback, instead of letting this young superstar back there, you know, do his thing. Like, he's got to work his magic. And if there were to just, you know, like, I don't know how if people realize how special this young quarterback is. But do more of the Russell Wilson type offense than this air raid thing, and I think you'd be more productive.
All right, Rexy, I know you coached Bart Scott with the Jets and with the Ravens, and now you're obviously doing a podcast with him, Organized Chaos. I actually love the name.
Me too.
Tell me what it's about. Talk to me.
Yeah, really, I tell you what, we came up with the name because, you know, we were thinking, can't wait, we're going to do. But Organized Chaos, when we were turning the league on its head by knocking your quarterback out, by being the number one defense in the league, it was Organized Chaos. That people had no idea we were coming from and all that. And it's probably the same thing here. But we are going to sit back right after the games, both of us are in New York doing different things for ESPN, and we're going to meet together and go over, analyze these games, and give you our first take, you know, if you will, our you know, where it's just, we just came off watching the games, and now we're going to give you our perspective, and it comes from a coach who, you know, I've coached in the league for over, you know, 20 years, 30-some years, and been around the game, the NFL game, all my life. You'll get that perspective, and you're going to get a Pro Bowl linebacker's perspective. Now, look, let's be honest. The offenses are going to get killed when we talk about them, obviously, when you put Bart and I together. But now, really, it's going to be, you know, we want it to be informative. We're going to be ourselves, and Bart and I have a tendency not to pull many punches. So we're going to be give you our true, honest evaluation of the games, what went right, what went wrong for your team, and give you an immediate reaction after a game. And I think that's what we want to do, and we're going to make it fun, but we're going to make it informative and give our two opinions. And you can say what you want. Well, these guys don't know anything. Okay, been around the game all my life. Bart Scott's been around it all his life. We don't know much. Okay, we got you. But we're going to give you maybe a different look and two eyes that have been around, have seen a lot of snaps. You're going to get our opinion and our immediate opinion on these games. And hopefully the language stays good, because Bart has a tendency to drop them every now and then.
We all
yes,
do.
Yes, he does.
Exactly.
He almost got my show canceled many times.
And the first episode is available September 12th, Organized Chaos with Bart Scott and our man Rex Ryan, ESPN NFL analyst. Hey, Rex, a pleasure, my friend. Enjoy the weekend and take care and be well.
Happy Labor Day, Rex.
All right, Freddie. I love watching you guys' show. Take care.
Appreciate you, my friend. And thousands affected by Hurricane Ida urgently need support. Donate at redcross.org/ESPN to help the Red Cross respond and help people recover from this disaster. You can make a difference in the lives of people impacted by Hurricane Ida. Your donation enables the Red Cross to prepare for, respond to, and help people recover from this disaster, and will provide people and communities affected by this devastating storm with food, shelter, relief supplies, recovery planning support, and other assistance. Again, you can donate at redcross.org/ESPN, redcross.org/ESPN.
DoorDash here with Summer of Dash Pass. Right now, DashPass members are taking $10 off groceries, alcohol, pet food, and more. Need a nightcap? $10 off. Got a cough? Get relief delivered for less. Want to surprise your crush? Yeah, you do. Send a gift and save. Try DashPass for free and get special savings, exclusive menu items, and $0 delivery fees year-round. Get more from your neighborhood now with DashPass in the DoorDash app. And stay cool out there. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for Caller Roulette.
You know the rules. Don't ask us how we are.
We're good.
I don't want to hear any of that.
Get in, say your name, and make your point, and ask the question.
888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. And don't mess it up.
Don't mess it up.
Especially you, Line 5.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off
your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Trying to spin that wheel with Jay Williams and Keyshawn Johnson, Freddie Coleman, and KJZ. So let's do it. Let's get into the early part of the weekend. We got Labor Day weekend happening starting tomorrow. Let's spin that wheel, part of Carlo the Roulette.
Spin it! What's on the grill, Freddie?
We'll see. Line two, you're on the grill. What you got?
Hey, guys. I was just wondering if you thought that Philly should be using one of those first-round picks and maybe trying to get a veteran receiver in there to pair with those young guys. Just wanted to get your thoughts on it, and if you thought that would be a possibility, who do you think we could go after?
Miami has a slew of wide receivers, from Devontae Parker's a guy, but I don't know that you want to get a veteran receiver in there, because you'll take away from the young guys with a young quarterback in Jalen Hurts that they can grow with over time.
Let's spin that wheel again. Line number four, you're on the menu.
All right, hey, this is Kenny. I was calling to see maybe if Cam Newton take that Jameis route and learn behind Ben for a year, so when Ben leaves, he can go ahead and be that bridge that they need for a couple of years till they find somebody else.
Jay?
I wouldn't be mad at that. I mean, if Mike Tomlin would take a chance on that, I don't know if I see them doing that. But
who did he? I couldn't
understand. He said it. Go – Pittsburgh,
yeah.
Play behind Big Ben for a year,
Learn
from Mike Tomlin,
yep.
You know, and really kind of pay his dues. You know, situation like that could be fine if that's what Cam wants to do. I don't know if Cam at 32 wants to be a backup, though. And at the end of the day, I have to respect that. If Cam wants to be a starter, you wait for the right opportunity, somebody gets hurt, you get your playing time.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, yeah, sitting there and Ben retires. If Ben retires, what if Ben have a hell of a year and he don't retire, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it may not be that last dance with Ben Roethlisberger, like people talking about the last dance with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Let's spin that wheel one more time. Line number one, in call the roulette.
Corey from New York.
Uh-oh.
Corey. What up, Corey?
Hey, guys. Could you make the argument in the NFL that there is one legitimate super contender in each division this year?
Each division?
You can.
Okay.
Title contender?
Tampa Bay, Buffalo, pick one out of the North. Green Bay, obviously. You can pick one. You can pick the Rams. You can pick Seattle, Kansas City. Of course. You can pick, yeah.
NFC East?
This one.
I don't think you can pick
in
one
in the East, the Dallas Cowboys.
Really?
Yeah.
I trust Washington over them.
See, you only trust them based on their history. I mean, you don't trust them based on their history. I'm talking about what they are right now today.
Well, I'm talking about right now.
We said title contenders,
yeah.
though, right?
They're healthy.
But we've talked about this multiple times. We always said if the Dallas Cowboys win a playoff game, they're good. I don't hear anybody talking about them winning a Super Bowl.
I got them going a long ways, man, okay.
If they can stay healthy, I'll trust that Washington defense and that Dallas Cowboys defense got a win.
Man, that sky looked like California. Too bad it's not.
For Keyshawn J. Will, I'm Fred. This has been KJZ on the Mighty ESPN Radio.